Welcome to Season 2 of Resting Glitch Face, a Shadowrun actual play.
This is Shannon. I'm playing Eris.
Hi, this is Sid, and I'm playing Jet.
This is Dot. I'm playing Binary.
This is Maddie. I'm playing Collateral.
And my name is Eric, the Game Master. Be warned, some of the following content is not suitable for all audiences. Awaken in the magic circle in Wildwood. And Peabody is sitting right next to you. Bodka's not there. And she's like sitting in a chair, like a stuffed armchair.
Like an ottoman.
Yeah, yeah. And she's sitting there and she's knitting, like she's been waiting for a while.
Oh, wow.
And then you stir and she looks at you and she smiles and she says, "Welcome back."
Thanks. Not dead yet.
All right. You are exhausted. Like, to the point of, like, about to pass out. In game terms, you basically have all of your stun boxes filled except one.
Oh, God. I need a nap.
But on the other hand, you feel a resonating power within you. And in game terms, you've now gone to initiate level 2. Karma free.
Oh, thank you.
All right. So Babushka is sitting there and she says, "What did you see?" It's important that you're as detailed as possible.
I saw my friend Val, and we fought. There was this, it was like a lack of sunlight, but it was also like glowing, but it also made me feel like I should run. But then I, you know, ran into Val, Demon Val. We fought, I won, and then I got so tired that I just couldn't stand up anymore.
She's sitting there and her eyes are like slits. It's like she's weighing you with her eyes. And she says, "Is that all?"
"That's all I can remember."
Make a con roll.
So you or mean a charisma roll.
A charisma roll or plot point.
Girl, I think it might be worth it.
I think
it.
It's worth the plot point. You can have one of your two plot points back.
All right. Plot point spent. So her eyes are slit and she's looking at you and she says, "Well done. The door is now open, and once you've fully recuperated, you will feel better, and your powers and your abilities you will find have grown exponentially."
Really?
"And given enough meditation and reflection, you may remember more about your past."
"Oh, hey, I would like to know more about my past. I don't really remember a whole lot from before the orphanage."
"Well, those answers will come in time. Give it time. Your body is now adjusting to its new ability."
"Is that why I feel like an overstuffed puppy? I just have to take a nap right now."
All right, she snaps her fingers and Sergei walks in and it's like you've been working out for 8 hours straight. You have like zero body strength, like your arms and legs are just shaking. You just have no strength at all. And Sergei just reaches underneath, picks you up as if you are nothing.
Oh my goodness.
And then turns and he says, "Where to, madam?" She says, "Make sure she's settled in her room. She will be sleeping and do not disturb her." "Yes, madam." And he just starts walking off and carries you to your room.
So, when I take a nap, am I good to, like, go? Do I need to take a physical afterwards to make sure that I'm okay?
Who are you asking? Are you asking
Sergei?
Do you ask Sergei?
Yeah.
All right, Sergei's very much like Lurch, so he just kind of looks down at you, and he says, "You are free to do as you wish. The madam just wishes for you to rest, and then after that, you are your own."
Perfect. Cool. Thank you very much. I have an appointment to get to later, so.
Okay. So Sergei's walking you into this room. He like lays you down in the bed or whatever, and you're like in robes. You're not like naked or nothing. So you're like in just robes that you would wear into the magic circle anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So he just kind of lays you in that. He kind of tucks you in and everything.
Oh.
And as he stands up, he says, "There is water," and he points towards the bedstand, and you can see that there's a pitcher of ice water with, you know, a couple of cups and whatnot. And as you're looking at him, your eyes flash, and almost as if you unconsciously astrally perceive, and you realize that Sergei is not alive.
What the fuck?
And then it goes away. And he says, "Do you wish anything else, madam?"
"No, Sergei, thank you very much."
"Very well." And he turns and walks out.
I hate it.
Joe, like, I assume her comm and
everything.
All
your gear and stuff is where you would normally keep it, so it's right there.
She feebly reaches over, grabs her comm.
Can't lift it because it's so heavy.
It's so heavy. She flaps her own chest, and she texts the group chat, "Not dead, peace signs."
All right. It is 8 a.m.
Text, "Very cool."
So Joe's been gone for hours.
For like 5 or 6 hours.
5 or 6 hours.
Yeah.
Val responds, "Okay, glad you're not dead. Where are you?"
"Hey, this is encrypted, right?"
"It was, yeah."
"I'm in Wildwood. I'm with Bianca's grandma. Sergei's dead. Like, not that he's dead, but he was never alive."
Val just sends back, what gif would be good here?
It's a gif of someone just standing there, gritting their teeth like,
"Are you sure that,
that you just sent me?
Are you sure that it's not the guy who's blinking?"
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's the guy that just tilts his head slightly, blinking like, "What the fuck?" Val sends that to you.
"Yeah, me too."
What's your ETA?
I need a solid 8 because I just went and fought an interdimensional space Val.
Val jumps in. "You what?"
"So there's a door on my magic, I think. It's really old, I guess. Madame didn't seem to think that it had anything to do with Aunt Delilah's, which is even more confusing."
"Hmm."
"But yeah, so I got the seal off part of my magic, and now I'm supposed to be super strong after I take a nap. But I think I need more than that. I literally can't lift my arms right now."
"Well, definitely take that nap."
"Yeah, get some rest, and we'll talk about the, what is this, the fourth version of me now? Fifth?"
"Only the
no,
second."
"No, the fourth. The well.
That I've fought."
"Minus the other sister."
"The what? Oh. I haven't fought her, though."
"No." Okay. So this is the second version of me that you fought? What the fuck?"
"Yeah, this one had claws."
"That sucks."
"Yeah, it did."
"Well, okay, I'm glad you won."
How's the job going?"
"Oh, fucking fantastic. She's awake."
"Oh, good."
"I had to go run an errand really quick, but I'll be back."
"Okay.
Don't worry, I'm here." And then she says, "Dog leash, pose," and takes this selfie and sends it.
"Hey."
All right, he's all. It gives you like a beefcake pose.
Yeah, so it's like a muscles.
"Hey, I just noticed that Bianca's not talking right now, and she hasn't posted anything in the group chat for, but, flips back like 12 hours.
She's got a lot of stuff going on."
"Yeah, I think the last she said she had a lot of family crap that was going on."
"No, I know. I'm just worried given that all of, you know, the bullshit that's happening."
"Yeah, I mean, okay, definitely I'm worried, but here's the thing. Can we personally do anything about it?"
"Watch me."
"No, we can't."
"I'm getting out of bed right now."
"Bitch, no, you about to cure her dad's stroke, dumbass?"
"I don't know. I might be able to now."
"Oh, BTW. I think Claude might have had a kid."
"What?
Question mark?
How do you know that?"
"Shift runs with her."
"Oh.
Maybe."
She sends back the letter I and the letter C.
"Go to sleep. Get some fucking rest, dude."
"Okay, I will. I will set an alarm. I will text you guys in precisely 8 hours and 3 minutes.
I will peel some oranges and chill the orange slices for you for when you get back."
"Perfect. And on just the off chance that I am actually captive here, this is the location."
"Oh, perfect. Got it.
Cool.
Night."
"Good night."
And then before Joe's goes to sleep, she sends a text message to Bianca saying, "Hey, I know that you have a lot on your plate right now. I'm just very worried that I haven't heard from you. please respond or call me whenever you have the chance. Thanks. Be safe.
Okay. Not red. Not red at all.
She goes to sleep.
All right.
Yeah. Jed actually turns to Togleish and says, I think we might be in trouble.
All right. He's like.
Not like us.
No, he like takes finger guns and he points it at the doc, like broken op.
No. This is a separate thing. Separate thing. It's just that I have a feeling that another shoe is about to drop. And just because some things that Maureen said, and I think I maybe know who she was talking about. And if she was talking about who I think she was talking about.
He's just shaking his head like he is completely lost.
You were drunk.
I was. Yes. So you're going to have to spell it out to me.
Maureen was talking about maybe knowing who was behind everything, and I think I might know who she was talking about. And if that's the case, then we are fucked.
Hmm.
Well and truly.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. Just tell me who to shoot and when to shoot them.
Okay. No shooting required.
Beyond that, I mean, I'm good.
Listen, and she puts her hand on his cheek and just kind of like pats it. Having you as a sounding board is very helpful.
Oh, okay. Even if it doesn't sink in?
Sometimes talking out loud and just like talking through this stuff really helps me.
Okay. Hey,
hey, you know what? You are so good at it.
Uh-huh.
At
okay.
Just letting it wash
standing
over you.
Standing there like a post.
Yes, I can do that.
Thank you.
He kind of points towards the hospital bed. Looks like she's waking up.
Oh, Dr. Singh, how do you feel?
Her eyes kind of flutter a moment and she kind of squints and she says, where's my son?
He's upstairs. Do you want me to go get him?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I'm going to go do that. And I will also get you some mouthwash and also a razor. We're going to shave the rest of your hair off if you want me to.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever.
Cool. Jed's going to boogie upstairs.
All right. You go up and Benny is awake and is doing some sort of online computer game.
Nice. Benny, yep. How's the game? Are you
all
winning?
All these other turds are wasting my time.
Okay,
well. All right, here we go. No, left, you fucking idiot.
Benny, watch your language.
Benny, are you cyberbullying people?
It's not my fault they suck.
Well, I mean, mood. Benny, your mom's awake.
Oh, all right, guys, I gotta go. No. Assholes. He turns it off. I didn't tell my friends that my mom was sick, so they just think I'm being a mama's boy now.
Fair enough. Sorry to ruin your image.
No, it's fine.
Cool. Let's go.
All right, yeah, he goes in and sees his mom, and they have a very tender moment as he starts, like, he, like, lays his head on her and starts to cry, and she, like, pats him and says, no, I'm okay. And then Dogleash is, like, standing there awkwardly, like, what should I do?
She points at the door and just kind of...
Yeah, he kind of awkwardly, like, shuffles out the door.
Call out if you need anything.
All right. They don't respond. Door closes.
Cool.
You hear the doorbell, ding, ding. And Dogleash goes, oh, I got it.
Wait, who is that?
It's Donuts. And he walks
over.
Oh,
my. Why did you order donuts? There's probably donuts here.
There's probably a chef that could make the best donuts on the planet.
We're only like two blocks away from Q's Donuts.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So
fine.
All right. And so the door opens up and you see, you know, delivery guy got a big pink box. He's like, thank you. Turns around, donut. He kind of opens it up.
I would love a donut.
They're still warm.
She picks the one with sprinkles and just kind of.
And there was only one with sprinkles.
Oh.
And it was right. It was set. It was in the middle, but it was set apart so that way the sprinkles wouldn't mush on other stuff.
Did you get the sprinkles one for me?
Oh, yeah.
And aww,
turns and
so
let's go into the
sweet.
Kitchen. I'll get some milk.
how are you feeling after all that dairy?
I'm feeling pretty good, actually. I'm feeling pretty strong.
Hell yeah. You
so I guess I'm not.
Strong bones.
I'm not lactive intolerant. All right. So you go to find Jake And he didn't go anywhere. Thank goodness. You know, nobody's like waiting outside for him or anything crazy like that. So when you arrive, he's like sitting at the edge of the, you know, because a coffin motel is not very big. It's basically just a pad on the floor, walls just wide enough for you to be able to turn around, and, you know, ceiling high enough for you to sit up in bed. That's about it.
Yeah.
So he's sitting at the doorway when you arrive. So when you walk up, because he's like on the third floor of this, and it's like, you know, outside walkway and whatever. So when you walk up to the door, it just kind of rolls and opens, and he's sitting there, and he's dressed and everything. He's ready to go. And he just looks at you and he says, "Well, I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me."
"Nothing's wrong with you. We're going to figure it out. It's just that you've been having some issues with your memory recently, and it's going to be okay, Jake. I think I know who we can go talk to."
"Okay. Are we going there now, or?"
"I got to get in touch with him first."
"Okay. Well, I guess we'll go. I don't want to stay here."
"Yeah, that's okay. I brought a car, so we'll go sit in the car for a minute."
"Okay." He like gets up and he kind of looks back and he says, "I don't even remember renting this place."
"You don't? Do you have you've got your comm on you, right?"
"Mm-hmm. Yeah, I called you."
Can I see it?"
He hands it to you.
"Is there a way for me to like hack his comm to see if it will show me his most recent locations?"
"Oh yeah, absolutely.
I want to do that."
"Okay, that's a hacking role."
"Yeah."
"Actually, you probably have administrator access to his phone."
"Hell yeah, I do."
"You know she does."
So, yeah, it's a matter of, just make a hacking check, and the difficulty is going to be pretty freaking easy. So
that's 4 successes.
Yep, so you follow, you've got his GPS, you know, how he got there. You even have, like, his transactions where you can see where he got a go-go, you know, at this time. It, you know, you even got the go-go app record of what route he took and everything. Nice. So he didn't do anything off the grid. He did everything, you know, legit. And it all looks like someone who this was a purposeful place for him to go. Like, he wanted to go here. It's not like he just said, you know, it's like the go-go app has go-go arrived at such and such time. This coffin motel address was the destination, you know, that kind of thing.
Okay. I'm going to just make a mental note of all of that information.
And you got such a good thing. You can even see because he used his comm to pay for the coffin motel. Because it's like you walk up, it's not like there's some sleazy attendant. It's like when you go to a Metrolink station, you walk over and you pick whatever you want. And you know, like, you know, it's completely automated. So you walk in. You know, you walk up to the kiosk and
it's like a vending machine.
Yeah, it's like a hotel vending machine. Exactly. You see the transaction. You see everything. He specifically chose that specific motel room.
I want to go back and look at it. Like, is there anything in there aside from it was just him?
You can go in there and look.
Yeah.
Okay. He's like, "Should I stay in the car?"
No, come with. See if anything like jogs your memory.
Okay.
Like retracing your steps almost.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's go.
Goes.
All right. So you go. You're just going to search the room. There's not much to it. Like I said, there's the pad in the back of it. That's where you kind of store your stuff. It's got a Tritio like built into the wall or whatnot.
Did he have anything in like the storage locker thing? Nope. Nothing there. Okay.
Nope.
Is there it's got a specific room number, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is it?
I said it was third floor, so it's 345.
Does that have any significance to you, Boggs?
345, no.
Okay.
I've never been here before.
Well, I think you might have been. I think you might have come here several times, actually.
Hmm.
But again, we're just going to figure it out together. Everything's okay. Like, you're safe with me. So.
All right. He says, "Why would I come here?"
"I don't know. Maybe at one point it was a safe space for you to just come and do some writing. Maybe at one point it was, you know, somewhere that you thought that you needed to go because a stakeout went bad, or I don't fucking know."
Make a perception check.
3 successes.
All right. So as you're sitting there talking, you see that because I said that it's got a trid built into the wall.
Right.
It also has a public comm built into the wall, and you can see that it has recently been used.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to check that shit out, too.
Okay. You check that out.
Would my skin link help with this at all?
Yes.
Okay, I'm a touch it. Like, touch it.
Now, what does skin link do to you?
You can connect to a device as if using a DNI simply by touching it. This echo is only slightly blunt. I don't know if there's anything else.
Oh, okay. So you can just hack into it by touching it.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So you put your finger on there and hack into it.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and roll your hacking again.
I picture Val's like shitty big sweatshirt is like mostly over her hands, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes she just pulls it back a little bit.
Reveals her gnarly fingertips.
They're gnarly?
No.
Whoa.
Like all chewed up.
Okay, that is 2, 4, 6, 7 successes.
All right, yeah. So you hack into it very easily. A public comm is not that hard to hack. You hack into this public comm
mm-hmm.
and just kind of go through the records, the buffer to see, you know, because you can tell that it's recently been used. You get that there was one phone call made to this comm about 45 minutes ago.
Oh, I want to know what that number is.
You recognize the number almost immediately.
Fuck. Whose number is it?
Demon Ill House.
God damn it. I hate this bitch. Okay. All right, Boggs. I think I'm getting some answers. Have you seen Catherine Demonil lately?
He kind of sits there for a second and squints. No.
Okay.
Do I know Catherine Demonil?
Kind of, yeah.
I mean, I know of her. Okay.
Oh, man. This bitch. She's fucking with my man. And I'm not okay with it. All right. We're going to make a pit stop in Chesterfield.
Okay. So you get back in the car and you're headed to Chesterfield?
Yep. Oh, I'll be fine. Gonna ring on this.
All right. So it's like 7:30 in the morning?
Yep.
Okay. So Demon Ill House, yes.
Yep.
It's a circular drive.
Yeah.
There's no gate or anything, just a circular drive.
I pull right up and like skirt park.
Okay. You know, there's the marble steps that go up into the double doors there that
have
just recently replaced.
About to get broke again.
Yeah, so I go up and I have Jake coming with me.
All right, he's right behind you.
And I'm just beating on the door.
Boom, 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 boom. Okay.
Yes.
A few moments later, a liveried servant answers the door. Yeah, so full on like tuxedo, white gloves.
I hate it.
And he kind of looks you up and down and he's like, may I help you?
I'm here to see Catherine.
Do you have an appointment?
I don't need one.
All right, he kind of stands there for a moment, and then you hear a voice from behind him say, go ahead and let her in, Charles. And Charles looks at you, and then looks at Boggs, and then turns his nose up and just kind of turns to the side. And you see Catherine Demonil. She's in the front foyer, and she's standing there with a woman, and she's pointing out, like, what's wrong with the floral arrangements in the front room. She's like, these need to go, and I told you I wanted those over there, and blah, 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 blah. And then she looks over at you, and she says, Valerie?
Catherine.
What can I do for you?
You can start by explaining why you were calling Jake at a coffin motel.
All right. She stops and she, you know, stops what she's doing. She looks at this person, this floral person that's working with her, and then she kind of shoos her away and turns and looks at you like completely dead in the face and says, who?
Where's Jake?
Like, he's right there. He's standing right there. Right behind you.
I turn and like shift my shoulder a little bit so that he's within her eyesight. Do you two recognize each other?
All right, Jake's like, yeah, we've met. And then she's like, you can see in her face, she has no recollection of who Jake is.
Okay.
She's like, no, what is this about, Valerie?
Well, ever since Dr. Greenleaf came to town and we met with you, there's been some inconsistencies. Have you...
Okay, well, is this going to take long?
It'll take as long as it takes.
Well, then, is it important that I have to rearrange anything? Or is this something that you can walk and talk?
I'm not going to impact your social schedule.
Good. Then you can follow me, because I have a few things to handle. And if this is important, then you can come with me.
Okay. Have you...
Your boyfriend can come along, too.
Okay.
And then Jake kind of goes, are we there yet? Or...
Oh, no. Oh, no! How dare you take that from me, Eric?
That's ice cold.
Damn.
He doesn't remember their kiss. I'm so sad
well,
now.
Well, you're just going to have to remind him. Not here.
Maybe. Refresh my memory. Has it been established that Dr. Greenleaf is dead? Like, is she, like, confirmed dead?
You mean, like, by the news and everything?
Yes.
It's reported. Actually, I think it was reported that she was injured in the attack But the family has not released any kind of information beyond that.
Yeah. Have you spoken to Dr. Greenleaf recently?
She shakes her head as she's walking into the kitchen and she says, no. As a matter of fact, she's gone completely comms dark since the attack. It probably has something to do with the fact that she was targeted by her own people.
Okay, so you remember the Dogtown, what happened at the Dogtown Arena. You are familiar
with it. All right,
and
then that's when she kind of stops for a minute, and then she, and it's like she's like looking down at what she's doing, and then she kind of stops for a minute, and you see like slowly turns her eyes towards Jake, and then she turns her eyes back to what she's doing, and she says, can you pardon me for 1 second?
What do you need?
I need to go to the bathroom. Would you like to come with me?
Yes.
All right, she goes, you're not coming with me to the bathroom.
I will stand outside the door.
All right, she's like, you can stay right here. I'll be right back. And she walks out of the room.
I grab Jake's hand and walk after her.
Okay, so you're following her?
Yes.
Okay, so you start following her, and she stops, and she turns and looks at you. She says, really, Valerie?
Yes, really.
All right.
I think what you subjected me to in my youth grants me a little bit of trust issues when it comes to you.
All right, you hear Charles say, is everything okay, madam? And she's still looking at you, and she says, Charles, call the police and tell them that there is a terrorist in my house.
Damn.
He says, the button was pushed 1 minute ago.
Fuck. Ah, shit.
The response time is fast as fuck, boy.
Yeah, because we're in rich bitch neighborhood. Can I do something to make that not happen? What would a plot point get me here? Could I, is this like an ADT situation where like if I call the number and tell them that it was like a code input incorrectly, that the alarm didn't actually go off and they don't have to send officers out? Can I do that thing?
So you're going to hack into the house security system and do that?
Yeah.
A plot point would do that.
Yeah, I'm going to give you my plot point.
All right. So you you immediately hack into the security system and send a false alarm ping to let them know not to send someone.
Yes.
Okay.
Do I get a response confirming?
It is a response in the form of a call. So you're standing there, and now you've intercepted this call, and it says, this is DAT confirming your inadvertent pressing of your panic button.
I look at Catherine, and like just death glare. I respond, yes.
But this is verbal, so you're like looking at Catherine when you're saying this. She has no clue of what you're even doing.
Right. Yes, this is Catherine DeMonell. One of my servants just so happened to accidentally bump into the panic button, and he's been let go. So you don't have to send anybody.
All right. You see her face, and she's like, now she turns white, like the blood drains from her face. And then you hear a, huh. And you look over and you see that it looked like Charles had like turned to run, and Jake just like elbows him in the throat. And so now Charles is like on his knees holding his throat because he just got elbowed in the throat.
Nice.
And then Jake closes the door and he reaches in behind his coat and he says, what do you want to do? You know he's holding a gun. He's like, it's not going to last that long. Somebody's going to call somebody.
Well, I looked down at Charles the butler. Did you tell anybody else?
And he's like choking. The whole house knows. They'll be here any minute.
Well, what was the response to my...
He may be bluffing. You don't know.
Oh, okay.
You don't know. But that's just what he says.
Okay. I look at Catherine. Call him off.
She says, no. What will you do, Valerie? Are you going to execute all of us with your terrorist boyfriend? Or are you going to stand here and wait for the police to arrive? Eventually, someone's going to call the police. So what are you going to do?
We're the only ones in this room and the doors are closed, yes?
Yes. So I suggest you just go scurry away into whatever hole you crawled out of.
Yeah.
Valerie.
Yes.
You had such potential.
I don't want to hear from you what my potential is or was. Any ounce of potential I may have had was stolen when I was subjected to the hellhole that was Aunt Delilah's. No thanks to you.
I admit that was a dark time for me.
Way to really skirt the blame there.
But things have changed, and I feel partially responsible for what happened to you.
Partially?
So here, let me make amends. Now, I don't know what brought you here or why or whatever this, you thinking I'm calling your boyfriend. I can assure you, I have no interest.
Well, there was your number called him.
My home.
Yes.
So someone from my home called him.
Yes. Have you seen Liliana recently?
You see her look like towards the staircase and then back to you.
So she's here.
Yes, she is. She's welcome here anytime. She's my daughter. But now that you're here and that you're clearly wrapped up in a bad situation, and she motions towards Boggs. So let me offer you an olive branch. I can make all of this, and she motions towards Boggs, go away.
What, are you going to just hire a crony to kill him?
No, I'll turn him into the police because he's wanted. But because you helped turn him in, you will get the credit for it. And, hear me out, I have friends in this city who could set you up. You could make a very nice living for yourself working for this city. I know what you can do. Come work for me.
That's the last fucking thing I would ever do. I text Liliana 911. What room are we in? The kitchen?
Yes, you're in the kitchen, yes.
I text Liliana 911, come to the kitchen.
All right. So anyway, Catherine says, look, you have a lot of ability. Ability that scares a lot of people, especially around here. But I recognize talent.
You recognize people you can use to your own gain.
Valerie, my patience does have limits, okay? And my offer is, it doesn't stand forever. So hear me out. I understand that you're wrapped up in a bad situation with bad people. Bad people who want to hurt this city. And I can help you. And I understand the bad blood. I understand, you know, you don't trust me. I don't blame you. So I'll tell you what, think on it.
For how long? The 2 minutes until you have the cops show up and haul us both off?
The cops were never going to haul you both off. I assure you.
Does Liliana respond?
Yeah, she's like, I'm not at your place.
I know you're not. Get down to your kitchen now.
Oh, you're here. Hold on a second. Let me put some drawers on. A minute later, she comes walking down, and she's wearing like a t-shirt and underwear, and that's it.
Hell yeah.
And she's like, she walks in, and she's like, hey.
Hey,
And then Catherine's like, why are you dressed like that? She's like, oh, Mom, you used to be hot. You just don't remember.
Got him. Val looks at Liliana. Jake and I are leaving. Make sure that your mom doesn't have anybody try and follow us.
Why are you telling me this? And she's like, oh, hi, Jake. And he's like, hi. And then she looks back at you.
Some weird shit's going on, and I'm trying to get to the bottom of it. Did you call him?
Last night?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
She looks at you like you know, why not?
Because he doesn't remember why.
So what's that got to do with me?
I need you to fill in the fucking pieces, Lil.
I called him because that was the number that I was given to call him because he wanted some information.
Information about what?
He's been asking about, and then she looks at her mom, and then she looks back at you and says, he wants some information on Falstaff. And he asked me if I could dig up some stuff, and I said I would look into it because, you know, I've worked for him in the past.
Or are still currently working for him, right?
She shrugs. She says, I'm not the only one.
You fucking bitch.
Yeah, I know. If that's all that it was, then fine.
Mm-hmm.
But...
how's Joe?
She's great.
I think you're lying.
What gave it away?
Your attitude?
Wowza. You can really
so she's
just...
not great. So her and Miss Pris are not doing well?
Oh, they're perfectly fine on that front.
I just think you're lying again. Go ahead.
We're going to get out of here. I don't even know why I thought that this was a good idea in the first place.
All right. She's like looking at you and she says, my mom tried to hire you, didn't she?
Yeah.
She said she was going to.
Well, it's not going to happen.
You know why she wants to hire you, right? And then you hear Catherine go, Liliana.
Oh, you know what? Just, yeah. Why?
Because she doesn't want you hanging out with elves anymore. And then Catherine's like, that is not true.
I believe that.
Then Liliana says, oh yeah, her and her group, they're looking to make things pure around here again. And she's like, Liliana, quit lying and trying to stir things up. And then Liliana just gives you a wink. She says, look into it.
Val turns and grabs Jake's hand and without even looking back, just they walk out the front door and all back right. into the car and peel off.
All right. So as you turn, you start to walk out, and you hear, as you open up the door, you hear Liliana say, "I'll call you later, Jake."
I hate everything.
All right. So last thing, Dr. Singh. So Benny comes rolling back out, and he's like, "She wants to see you."
Cool. Oh.
And then he's like, "Did I smell donuts?" And Dogley's like, "Hell yeah, they're right over here." He's like, "Come with me, little dude."
Jet walks back in. Just
all right. She is now sitting up in the bed, and she's drinking some water, and she's like, and you see that she had already used like the toothbrush and all that stuff, and you see that the water is brown. And she's like, "I'm not exactly certain what happened last night. I mean, I feel great, but I'm not exactly." And she's actually like actively shaving her head as you walk in.
Oh yeah, she opens up a compact and is like, "Here."
And she's shaving her head, and she says, "I really appreciate what you've done, although I'm not exactly certain the extent of it. I don't remember much."
Like, where does your memory stop, I guess? How much of our conversation do you remember?
I don't remember a whole lot.
Cool. But you remember why?
I remember that I wanted, that you really wanted to speak to me, but I don't remember why.
Cool. Okay. Great. So when myself and my friend met you at the restaurant, right? While we were in the restaurant, you were talking about your work with cyberware and reducing essence loss and things like that.
Yes.
But anyway, then we were talking about my cyberware in the car. Okay. And there were still a lot of mysteries and holes as to why they did this to me, because it wasn't something that I consented to. So you said that you would look at it and see if maybe you could figure anything out.
Oh, okay. All right. And she says, well, she kind of looks around. She says, well, I can take a look at, take a look at the housing and everything and let you, I don't have a, and she's like, this isn't really a cyber clinic, so I couldn't crack it open and look at the internal workings, but I can certainly inspect the housing and everything, the external.
Yeah, that would be incredible. Anything I can learn about this.
Okay.
Is all right. Good.
She's like, she gets off the hospital bed and motions for you to lay down.
Cool. Yeah, and Jet shucks off her pants.
All right. So she like raises the bed up and she's like taking a look at it, and then she kind of stops for a second and she's like blinking.
What? Is everything okay?
All right. She looks at you and she says, something's not right.
What do you mean?
Like before, when I would look at cyberware, it had a certain look to it. And now I can't really explain it. It had a hue to it, a glow to it. And now I don't see anything.
Probably on account of the brain surgery.
I mean, I still know about things, but I just don't have
the you can't get the vibe off of it like you could before.
Right. It's almost as if I could, it's hard to explain. Like I could feel it.
Like you could read its aura?
Sort of. I don't know about that, but I could certainly feel, I could touch it and I could feel its vibration and whatnot. But regardless.
Can I give some details about Jet's cyberware, because I've been thinking a lot about this?
Yes.
Okay, so the seam, it's just below where, like, short shorts would hit. So they're pretty fucking high up, and it's mostly flesh-colored, but there is a very faint iridescent pattern of hexagons that are larger in the, like, larger parts of her legs, and then they get smaller towards, like, the seams of the, like, where you would open it up to service it, stuff like that.
Okay.
So it's something that it's pretty subtle. Like if she went outside in the sunlight, you could definitely tell. But if you just saw it for a second and didn't know what you were looking for, you wouldn't necessarily clock it as cyberware immediately.
Okay. All right. So she's looking at it more intently, and she even like takes a magnifying glass like with a light on it and everything that's at the bedside. And she's just looking at it and shakes her head, and she says, "This is very exquisite work. A true master did this." Mm-hmm. And then she says, "And you said it was Dr.
I don't remember the name. It was something Russian. We had a name, but I don't remember it.
I don't recall. Dr. Pamchenko or whoever it was?
Yeah, it was him.
I don't think so.
You don't?
No. Perhaps they were there in the beginning, but these were designed by someone else. They may have been implanted by Pamchenko, but she says, "I'm sorry. What did you say your name was?"
Juilliard Burton.
All right. She kind of sits there for a second. She says, Miss Burton, these... How old are you? Just out of curiosity.
22.
Okay. Have you ever had your legs inspected in any way?
Like this? Like post-cyberware? No. Not at all.
All right. She says, the designs here, the hexagonal designs and how intricate they are into the way they fit, the way they look. This is a style that hasn't been used in 50, maybe 60 years.
Okay.
But it's Delta grade, which means that each Delta grade implant is tailor-made for the recipient. That doesn't make any sense.
Do you think it was someone who was like using an older method or something like that? Someone old-fashioned, maybe?
Perhaps, I suppose. But my professional assessment of this is that these legs are antiques made for someone 50, 60 years ago, but they shouldn't have been able to be implanted on you.
Right.
Because they were made for you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Resting Glitch Face. Theme music by Synthesk. Background music by Machinima Sound. Outro music by Austin Miller. Edited and produced by Sid. Continuity consulting by Dot. Shadowrun is property of Catalyst Game Labs. Resting Glitch Face is a production of Openly Gamer Theater and property of Side Tangent Productions.